You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Dahlia Sofer, who left Iran with her family in 1982, has written a novel about a family living through hardships in just post-revolutionary Iran. The Septembers of Shiraz is published by Echo, and I'm pleased it has brought her to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
How old were you when your family emigrated from Iran?
I was 10 years old.
And how aware were you, how aware could you have been about the complicated things that were happening at the time?
I was somewhat aware, though not, I didn't quite understand exactly what was happening. But I think you can't help but pick up on what's going on and all the confusion, and you just undergo so many changes.
I'm sure that there were a lot of questions you asked yourself, and I'm assuming that to some degree, the novel and the research you did was also a way of answering some of your own questions.
That's exactly right, because I think these are questions that I've been asking myself ever since, and the novel was really a way to delve back into that whole world and just understand it better and recreate it for myself.
So there were a lot of different characters from different backgrounds in this book: Islamic revolutionaries, communists, people who traveled in the same circles as the Shah,
yes,
and attended his parties. Was that part of your research, tracking down people like that, or is it fun just to imagine what they must have been like?
No, it's mostly imagined. Some are people I've known or encountered, or family members and so on. But it's really, no, I didn't interview people. I did read a lot of different accounts. But no, it's all imagination, because I'm just curious in different points of view, especially when points of view are colliding.
Although I think it's okay for me to assume that a lot of this is based on what really happened, especially what really happened to your father.
Some of it is, and I would say that the story is really loosely based on my own experiences. My father was, in fact, imprisoned, although the circumstances of his imprisonment, as well as his actual experience, were very different from my protagonist's experiences. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely the motivation for me to write the story.
So let's talk about it in terms of the novel, not mm-hmm. in terms of your father, your family.
Mm-hmm.
I won't keep on asking you, did this really happen
right.
to you? The novel opens on the day that Isaac Amin is arrested, September 20th, 1981. How long after the revolution began was that?
The revolution really broke out in the fall of 78.
So we're talking 3 years into the revolution.
Yes.
And was it, had things already pretty much settled, or were things still in serious transition at this point?
Things were in transition, although at that point it had become apparent that it was going to be a religious government. So it had settled somewhat, although, you know, people didn't exactly know what's going on yet. There was still a lot of confusion.
And Isaac is arrested by the Revolutionary Guard, accused of being a Zionist spy. Why do you think he was really arrested? He wasn't a spy, was he?
He was not a spy.
Is it because he was Jewish and wealthy and perhaps traveled in the same circles that some people who knew the Shah did?
Yes. Being Jewish certainly wasn't helpful at that time, nor is it now, I think, in Iran. And also, yeah, being wealthy, just the whole country had turned around, and so people who had done well under the Shah's regime were no longer looked upon favorably.
Not just Jews, people of the Zoroastrians, Baha'is, all being discriminated against at this point?
Absolutely. Those, actually, the Baha'is certainly worse than Jews, because they weren't even recognized as an actual religion. So yeah, it's just a time of persecution, and there is a lot of just randomness that goes along with that.
Isaac is tortured, and he witnesses the brutal mutilation and executions of other prisoners. In fact, there's a possibility he might be executed.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of thing really happened? Just simply because you were Jewish and rich?
Absolutely. Actually, the grandfather of a very good friend of mine was executed early on in the in the revolution. He was Jewish and a notable figure in the Jewish community. Execututions were just very random.
Have things settled down? Is there a Jewish community in Iran now?
There is a Jewish community. I haven't been back, so I really can't speak for the country as it is now.
And no family back there?
I have only one uncle who has chosen to stay. And I believe there are about 35,000 or so Jews in Iran right now.
Well, obviously, they're not being arrested every day and tortured. Things probably have settled down to some degree.
Right. I think they get by. They live their lives. But there's always that danger hanging over them, and especially with the new president. Well, he's not so new anymore, but with Ahmadinejad and his whole, anti-Holocaust campaign and so on.
How far back does a Jewish presence in Iran go?
I think it goes back to the time of Cyrus, which is about, 6th century B.C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they've been there for a very long time.
And we're talking about Sephardic Jews. Because part of the story involves, Shirin is the young woman, I'm assuming loosely based on you. And then there is a brother who comes to New York, mm-hmm. who's actually come to New York before. And he falls in love with the pious daughter of his Hasidic landlord. And here we have two sides of Judaism.
That's right. And the interesting thing for me in that was that both the father in Iran and the son in New York are being alienated for their Jewishness in some way. The father, because he's Jewish in an Islamic country. The son, because he's not Jewish enough, is too secular compared to this religious family.
Well, in Iran's case, the Shah had good relations with Israel, but since the revolution, Israel has been one of the main sore points for the Iranian government. I guess it's the United States and Israel that are the sources of all the problems in the world as far as that government is concerned.
Yes. And in school, actually, we used to chant every morning, death to America, death to Israel. It was sort of the way to
start. You had to say that every day?
We had to say that every day before classes.
Was your family observant?
No, we were. We celebrated holidays and so on, like a lot of secular Jews, but...
My guest is Dalia Sofer, S-O-F-E-R. Her novel, The Septembers of Shiraz, is published by Echo and has already gotten some wonderful reviews. Shirin, the young daughter in the story, hopes initially that her father has just been misplaced, like the things that that go missing in your house. Did the adults around you try to shield you from your worst fears?
Absolutely, yes. And when my father first disappeared, really, we were told that he had gone on a sudden business trip. But the truth eventually comes out because you realize that things aren't adding up. So it's a difficult time.
Well, today, I suspect there was a period when the great majority supported the revolution. And today we get a feeling of a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of disaffection.
Yes.
Even from original supporters. Mm-hmm. There's a great filmmaker, Makhmalbaf, mm-hmm. who was jailed by the Shah and hated the Savak.
Right.
And more recently has gotten in trouble for being critical of this government.
Right.
So is that because the real Iran is neither the Shah nor the current situation?
Well, I think so, yes, because so many people were just unsatisfied with the monarchy and they were trying to change the regime, but I think they didn't really think through what was going to happen afterward, and they just all banded together for this revolution. The outcome is not what most of them had hoped it would be.
Farnaz, the mother, says she's living in a country of informers. Mm-hmm. And she suspects that their housekeeper, who's been with them for a long time, is informing on them. And we heard some of the stories in Europe after the Nazis occupied areas. Was that something that you were thinking about when you were creating that character?
You mean the direct comparison with Nazi Europe? Yes, I think anytime there is that kind of toxic environment where you just lose all sense of trust, so your neighbors become informers, and then the most unlikely people help you out. It's just not, things aren't the way they used to be.
People have told me that they were just thrilled initially because they no longer had the secret police to deal with. They hated the Shah, and suddenly they wound up in a situation where they didn't see any real improvement.
And in fact, it probably got much worse because at least the Savak was just really after people who were undermining the Shah, whereas with the revolutionaries, it was more random.
But I could also understand why people might have resented a family like the one you write about, because they benefited from the Shah and that regime.
Yes.
And this is always a problem in a post-revolutionary situation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is why I tried in the book to really also explore the points of view of the housekeeper, the interrogator, even the torturers, so that you understand they're not just acting out of the blue. They have their own resentments toward people who lived well while they weren't living well.
So what do you... one of the big themes of this novel, as I see it, is really about finding out who you are when everybody's telling you that you're... telling you who you are.
That's exactly right. It's about how you perceive yourself and how ultimately people classify you.
Does it work out for someone in exile? I mean, you arrived here when you were 10, still young enough to become a different person. Are you an American now, or are you? Will you always be partly that person who grew up under the Shah and then under the revolution?
Yes, I think I will always be that person. I don't feel entirely American, although I am also partially American. But that will always be with me. And especially, I think the fact that I haven't gone back, I can't really go back, I think. I don't want to take the chance.
Is that the reason you haven't gone back? Because you're afraid you might be arrested, or because you're still not sure you would be able to deal with it in a reasonable way?
No, I think it's really just fear of what may happen. And maybe nothing will happen, but we did escape from the country ultimately. And so I don't know what would await me there if I were to go back.
You still speak Farsi?
I speak Farsi with my family. Not at a very advanced level, but we get by.
They'd know right away when you got back, wow, this adult woman is speaking like a child.
Well, I hope it's not that obvious, but... I'm sure soon enough they would know, yes.
Dalia Sofer's novel, The Septembers of Shiraz, is published by Echo. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. ¶¶